Listening to Peach Pear Plum, a parenting podcast.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Jen.
Here we are, first episode.
Peach Pear Plum.
Peach Pear Plum.
It's fun to say.
Parenting podcast. That's a lot of peas.
It is a lot of peas.
It's pretty cool that Kootenai Kids asked us to work on a podcast, and here we are learning and experimenting.
Yeah, we're in the playroom.
We're
even.
In the playroom, another P.
Yep.
It's nice to be here in this space, although I miss the kids.
It is a nice room.
It is a nice room.
It's a different time in the world that playrooms are empty of children.
They're empty of children, but full of podcasters.
Podcasters playing.
Playing in the playroom. So I am really curious to see how this is all going to unfold over the next while, but pretty excited too. We thought we'd add another P word. Since we were on the P roll, we thought we'd start playing with the word preserving for this episode.
Preserving peaches and pears and plums, potentially.
Potentially. And preserving people's minds, like how parents are getting through the summer.
And how we are looking forward to the fall, or maybe not looking forward to the fall.
Yeah, preserving that nice, easy feel of summertime and going into the fall with some grace, some poise.
Thank you.
I also love it that in this episode we are going to talk about preserving memories. And when we were playing with the word preserving, the idea of photo archiving came up for me. How do we best preserve our family memories? So it will be fun to play with the word preserving.
Where should we start?
Will you tell me what's your favorite thing to preserve? We just enjoyed some of the blueberries from your garden. Do you do anything with them?
I have tried dehydrating them, They tend to fall through the cracks in the dehydrator. We freeze blueberries, but not enough of them make it to the freezer. Wow. We eat them.
You eat them.
So blueberries are not something I have preserved much. If I was to speak of just my own garden and the things that I harvest there, the black currants, I think, are my favorite. And that would be, well, I make a black currant jam, which I love. And it is my favorite of the jams that I make from my own harvest. And certainly we freeze as well the currants to make a cordial when we're feeling run down.
Oh, I remember you talking about that last year. Stock up for this winter.
I love the black currants. They're so rich. And yeah, they seem to be something that's returned over and over again in my life. My father was a fan of the currants. We also have a lot of pears, and so there's a pear ginger jam that I love.
Delicious.
And when my child was a small person and beginning to eat, mm-hmm. I definitely preserved the pears as just a simple sauce.
Oh yeah, to have for...
They're so juicy and sweet.
So sweet.
Yeah. So those are my favorite things that I can think of right now when I'm looking at what's happening in my garden.
Awesome.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I was really drawn to the name Peach Pear Plum for this podcast was the food connection. And it seems like something that you and I have in common, both through our work here at Kootenai Kids and then just our own sort of personal private life.
It's true.
I'm going to find as many peas as I can for this episode. That's now become my goal. But I love the idea of the bounty of all the fruit that's around, especially this time of year. And I'm excited to do some preserving myself. I'm glad that today's a rainy day. It feels like such a blessing after a bunch of heat. But I'm glad that the heat might subside a little bit over the next few weeks and get in the kitchen and do some preserving. Maybe some Pickles.
Yes, pickles.
I have all these green beans that are coming now in the garden, so I've been thinking about what to do with them. And my very favorite thing to make, though, is jam. I'm with you there, especially the idea of the sweet pears. I like jam because you can't really screw it up too much. You throw it in a pot. I mean, you don't want to burn it, but you throw it in a pot, mash it up, add a bunch of sugar. My personal endeavor is to not use Certo or any kind of thickener, but that backfires on me. I end up with lots of jars of syrup. You know, that's never bad to have over ice cream or pancakes or waffles. But
pour it into a smoothie or something. Yeah.
There you go. It always surprises me how much sugar it takes to preserve jam, like to make jam. But I have been playing with a chia seed recipe, a chia jam recipe, that is so simple. And basically, it's all the steps you would use for making jam, you know, clean and core the fruit, chop it up into a pot, add a bit of water, maybe some lemon juice for a little bit of tartness and to keep the colors all fresh. Bit of maple syrup. You gotta have some sweet in the jam. At least that's what my kid would argue for.
Oh yes, I love maple syrup. Gotta absolutely.
Touch of sweet in there. And bring that all to a boil, just like you would other jam. But once it's boiling, turn the heat down a little bit and add chia seeds. So usually, you know, if you have a big full pot of jam, then you probably want to add about half a cup of chia, a little smaller amount, use a little less. Stir it up and let it sit, and those chia seeds all like plump up and absorb some of the liquid in the jam and make a lovely spreadable jam with a fraction of the sugar and all the health benefits of the chia. Little pop, little texture change, which is enjoyable. Mm-hmm. And you can go to preserve it the same way, like put it into jars that you've heated or disinfected, either in the dishwasher or maybe in the oven on really low temperature, like 225 or something. Put the chia jam or whatever jam you've made into the jars, put on the lids, back in the oven on low temperature for a little bit, and then let it cool
till they pop.
Hopefully not explode, but yes, my favorite sound in the world is that little pop.
It's very satisfying.
The jar sealing. Yeah. Successful preserving. It kind of gives me hope for the future. It's like, look, you have these jars of jam. We will get through snowy winter if we have some of the fruit saved. It's like saving a little bit of the sunshine.
I wanted to ask you, certainly you preserve in jars. How do you find, freezers are limiting because they fill up. Is that one of the reasons why you like to preserve in jars?
I like to preserve in jars so I can see my work all lined up on the shelf. It makes me feel good. No, certainly the freezer just gets full.
Yeah.
And then I guess there's always that downside if the power goes out or the freezer dies or something, then you've lost that food. But mostly, and quite honestly, it's a memory from my childhood, being with my grandmother in Naramata in the Okanagan where I grew up, and just hanging out in the kitchen. It was always steamy and hot summer days, and just, it was very comforting, that process. Yes, it's work, but that process of canning, of putting food up for the winter was really comforting. And then as a foodie and as someone who works with food as part of my career, it really is an investment in the coming months, you know, and having that food, having it prepared to share with people or to have as
the
gifts.
Sharing. Yeah, the sharing. I was thinking that for sure. I mean, it's, you're not sharing frozen food. Yeah, it is. It's for sharing. Yeah.
You and I had a fun laugh when we were having a planning meeting. You were teasing me about being a slacker canner. I would definitely want to pass on to people just to have a lot of kitchen confidence. So as important as it is to follow all those food safe rules, very important. But we can also be a little bit more flexible and confident in our preserving. So worst case, the jars don't seal. Then you just have a fridge full of jars to enjoy over the next few weeks.
You have to eat them up. That's right.
You're forced to eat them up. The pressure is on to eat the preserves. So yes, work with a clean kitchen. clean hands, washing hands seems to be the name of the game right now. Start with clean food, clean kitchen, treat the jars carefully, you know, the right temperature, but mostly just move forward with confidence. Worst case, you can always freeze it. Wonder how else we can preserve things in our life.
Preserving our sanity.
Preserving our sanity.
I could use some tips on that. We called life coach Kate Bayo. Jen asked Kate to speak with us about the idea of preserving sanity.
Hello, Kate speaking.
Hey, good morning, Kate. This is Jen Gon calling.
Preserving our sanity. Well, I think a big word has been grace, like grace and self-compassion. I'm a huge fan. I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to Brené Brown's podcast. Even the first episode, like about FFTs and effing first times.
Yes.
Like this is, right, we're all thrown into something globally together for the first time. And so I think sometimes it's hard to forget that we haven't been in it long enough to have perspective.
Uh-huh.
It's all okay. Like if I lose it, if I want to keep my kid home, if I'm dying to send my kid to school, like, you know, it's all okay. And so as far as preserving is a lot of self-compassion. So that's like talking to myself how I would my best friend. And sometimes I have to like think about her, like what would she say to me right now in this moment? And then that common humanity piece and knowing that I'm not alone, right? Like I'm not the only parent with a teenager who refuses to stay home during the pandemic and how hard that is for me, you know, because I start to judge, I start to like those things that can come up, or is there any issue that you're struggling with? And guaranteed there are more people on the planet that are going through the exact same thing. And then the mindfulness piece, that's the third part of self-compassion, is feeling the feelings, giving yourself permission to feel the feelings and know that they will pass. It's like, I was just watching an incredible TED talk about like one choice, eight feelings, 90 seconds. Like if you can give them 90 seconds, then that's where like just breathing or like taking in the sounds around you or anything that will help you stay present can help you realize it and just feel the feeling as it's coming over you, and it will pass and rather than getting stuck there. So those are kind of the elements of self-compassion, which I feel like, how do we preserve our sanity right now is to just to be in it in a way that we're giving ourselves some grace and some compassion.
Wow, that's really beautiful. So the idea of just being gentle with ourselves and giving ourselves some space, like just feel, being mindful, feel what we're feeling without kind of judging or thinking I shouldn't do this or I should be doing this. Just to give ourselves some space to move through that feeling or to move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Be a little gentle.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Already I feel a little bit more relaxed just in the moment listening to you and taking that in. There's this cool idea in Chinese medicine about, you know, being like bamboo, you know, if you just move with the wind around you. And I guess when I hear you talk, that's what's coming up for me. And I even saw that quoted in some like New Yorker article or something, that as parents as teenagers right now, we just have to, not that I have a teenager, but for parents who do have teenagers or any parents to just stay really loose and flexible and move with whatever comes. And just the mindfulness is so important, to not jump instantly with what we're feeling, but to feel it, like to not to try to solve what we're feeling or to get away from what we're feeling, to feel, to know. I love that what you said about every choice is okay. There's a lot of judgy feelings potentially right now with any decision, it feels like.
So
to just be graceful, to give ourselves a bit of a break.
Yeah. And then when we can do that for ourselves, then we can do it for others. Like, so if I'm in the grocery store and I'm wearing a mask and someone's not, like that, if I can practice self-compassion, then I'm able to extend that compassion to others. It's important that we practice that with ourselves first, because it makes extending it so much easier, not necessarily easier, but
the more that we can be coming from calm, sort of gentle place with ourselves, we can extend that to other people, maybe be less quickly triggered or less sort of quick to anger if we can treat, I guess ultimately that's the ultimate empathy, isn't it? Is treating others as we want to be treated, right?
Yeah.
Not in Bible school, but go ahead, please.
Go ahead. When you asked about the self-care piece, I mean, that alone is really helpful. And when you asked that question, I think the other thing that came to me is right now it's not about pedicures. And although we want to support all those people, bathroom candles can be helpful, but I feel like it's self-care right now. It's like seeing your therapist, having difficult conversations. It's setting boundaries. It's kind of like, I feel like it's a bit grittier right now, self-care. And you know, we almost have to we need to dig deep and make sure we're providing ourselves with those bigger pieces and support networks and resources so that that increases our capacity to be self-compassionate, right?
Yeah.
And
that's important.
Yeah.
Like other preserving topic we've been talking about, you know, making jam or putting up pickles, whatever. So in this, what comes to me is that you do the work initially. You do the hard work now.
Yeah, nice.
So that in the future, you can benefit from the sweet fruit or benefit from a little bit of grace or self-compassion or gentleness with the person in front of you at the grocery store.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. Yeah, that's a lovely analogy.
Aw, thank you so much. It's really nice to hear your voice, and I love following you online.
I've had some great beach conversations this summer about photo archiving, about preserving memories. We're going to hear from a parent who has a great quick tip on how to basically organize your photos so that when you go to find them later, let's say you're going to make a Christmas gift for Nana and you want to find those pictures from the summer, how you can quickly access your very best shots. So great strategy from a parent. And we'll hear from a professional photographer. Look, I got two P's in there. We'll hear from Bobby Bobarich about her strategies for preserving memories, and her process might just surprise you.
I'm excited to hear this.
Awesome.
I need tips on the photograph preservation myself.
Wow.
Yeah.
We get really inundated with photos. Eh? Like, it's so lovely to have our phones and be able to just click away. But it's kind of amazing. I went on a camping trip with some mamas and some kids and took photos, enjoyed doing it. And then when I looked, there was like over 100 pictures from just 2 days. And we can't have all that digital clutter in our life. Or, well, we can. But it would feel nicer to have some sort of process or practice to get that sort.
I'm curious about, are you the photographer in who's taking pictures of your small family?
I often am the photographer, although my husband Dave does his share too, and it's kind of fun. But Ty has been grabbing the camera more this summer. Quick story, the last few days we've been taking care of a neighbor's cat. Cat's name is Stripey, this gorgeous, big, fat, juicy cat. And when we went to feed Stripey last night, Ty took my camera and took like 27 pictures just in the few minutes we were there. And I love seeing the world through my kids' eye as well. They're a little lower to the ground, like just physically lower to the ground and getting
good
angles.
For pet photography.
Good for pet photography. And just such a interesting perspective on the world. So more and more this summer, I've been, you know, when I go to look at my photo gallery, been surprised by the things that my kid has left on there.
I ask you most specifically because I know that a lot of parents find, if they're the photographer, that there aren't pictures of them.
Yeah.
And I would love to encourage everyone to make sure that they're preserving photos that include themselves. It's not something I've been good at over the years. And as hard as I find looking at pictures of myself sometimes, I think it's really important.
Well, it's really important because photos will be used to keep memories for everyone in your family. So in the future, decades down the road, if your child and their family, their kids maybe are looking at pictures, you don't want them to be like, hey, where's grandma? She's never in the shots. Or, you know, how come dad didn't show up in more
of those? That's exactly right. Jen asked inspiring mama Laura Perrier to share a quick photo organizing tip with us.
So when we were hanging out on the beach, you gave me an awesome suggestion for archiving photos or for starting like a best of list or a starred list so that when we want to find our pictures later, it can be easier.
So working with the search functions that are in your phone so that you can hit heart or star, depending on how your phone works, and just see the best of.
Awesome.
Which is nice because we take a lot of pictures these days.
Oh my God. And then when it's Christmas time and you want to make that calendar for grandma, grandpa.
Yeah, you don't have to relive your whole year play by play, meal by meal.
So awesome and smart. So can you tell me, like, if I was a total noob, can you talk to me about how I do that? So I've taken pictures. My phone has 20, 30, 1,000 pictures, and I'm looking through them. Then what do I do?
Right. Yeah, probably most people do look through pictures, every couple of days. Maybe you look back.
Sure.
And so then you have the choice of how much time you want to spend if you want to look through each series and actually do deleting. And if you don't, usually our eye catches the best one. And that, I would say, is the key thing, is to give it a rating or a heart right away. So at least your best ones will be able to stand out in a search. And if you really want to be managing your collection, also deleting, you know, the worst ones or really ones you've had two or three of right away does help with the clutter.
That's so smart. So going through, deleting the ones you don't like the double chin from upside down ones that my kid takes
for
of me.
Sure. Get rid of that one right away.
So we delete those. And then you're saying that as you go through, that a good time saving technique is to write when something catches your eye. When you're like, oh, I love that picture, to star it or heart it, depending on our different phones. And then
yeah.
Do you have to name that file, or does your phone automatically keep all the favorites, all the starred ones in a separate file?
Yeah, it already does. So then it makes it very searchable for you. You don't need to name it or anything. You can hit star as a search, or heart usually, and just see all those photos at once.
Amazing. I love that idea when you shared it, because it's as you go along helping to organize your images so that it's not so overwhelming.
When I learned that too, I felt that I actually already was doing it. I just wasn't pushing the function. I was sort of noting it in my brain as though I'd probably remember.
Uh-huh.
I don't necessarily. You know what I mean? I was already going through the series, picking out the one I like best and just sort of hoping I'd remember if I ever needed it. Whereas now I just tap the button, because I already did that mental work of like, yeah, that's where my chin looks at, or whatever, right? That's where the light really, I captured what I wanted. Or,
totally.
You know, so it's just a matter of making that note so that the technology can work for you later when you're scrambling to print out or make a calendar or whatever.
Yeah. Thank you. I love that suggestion, because it's helping us be organized for the future and helping sort of help preserve our memories, make it easier to preserve that information for the future.
Jen asked Kootenai photographer Bobby Barbaridge to share her best tip for preserving family photographs.
You know what? I think printing them is the single most important thing to preserve your photos.
Whoa, that's not what I expected you to say, but I dig that.
Oh.
I'm a print it out and hold it in my hand kind of person.
What were you thinking? What would you expect it to be? Or like, what would you be your first?
I guess I was imagining in our modern world with everything being digital that there'd be some kind of suggestion to do it all digitally and have it for forever kind of thing.
Well, yeah, see, that's the thing is, I don't believe that digital is forever.
Uh-huh.
Because our formats are constantly changing. Even 3 years ago, everybody wanted a USB.
Right.
And now, like, who sees a USB anymore? Like, and before that, it was DVDs. And, like, there aren't even DVD drives in computers anymore. And prior to that, it was, I don't even know what it was before that.
Well, you raised such a good point. Our wedding video is on, you guessed it, VHS.
I think people always have the intention to like update the format, or we always have the expectation that because we have this digital file that it will mean something in a few years. But whoever like goes and puts a DVD into a computer anymore, I certainly don't do it.
Yeah.
And to like go through that extra step of taking your photos from your USB, okay, I have a new computer, now I have to put all of my old photos onto my new hard drive. People just don't do it.
I totally see your point, and I feel encouraged kind of like to stick with what has worked. Old school photo in your hand on the wall or in the kids' photo album. That way you know that you have it.
And the other thing that printing does is that it makes us look at them. Like even just in order to print them, you have to pick which one I'm going to print. But for me personally, like unless I'm making that choice, I like automatically think, well, I can do it later. And I know that I expect that it will be there. Like I expect that those files will be there and that I can go back to them at some time to make those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But then I get busy and I do other things and suddenly it's a year later and I haven't done anything with those photos. Like if you take the time, you can easily take 100 photos in a few seconds.
Right.
If you take the time to actually go through those photos and pick the one you like, put it into a folder, like have like a printing folder on your computer, and like once a month or like a couple times a year, you send that folder to the printer. They print you 4x6s or whatever you want, and then you have them. You know that photo is not going anywhere. If you ever like, we lose our computers, we lose our hard drives, we lose our USBs, all of that stuff is so easily lost. That's not to say that prints can't be lost, but it's a lot harder.
Awesome. I feel light, like you helped me already.
Oh, good.
Yes.
The other thing that I don't think I clarified enough is that when you're choosing what you want to print, it actually makes you think about what photos you connect with and which ones you actually like.
One of the reasons that I wanted to talk to you today is I just love your work. Every time I see your photos, there's something that's like a little different, something that's like quirky or funny, or you've caught an action, you've caught a moment. I'm curious, and this is more than I said I was going to ask you, but I'm curious, when you're doing that, you're going through your 700 photos, what do you think it is that catches your eye?
I think for me, I usually have some sort of physical reaction.
Ah.
So I'm looking through thousands of photos, and the ones that even make me smile, or that I find myself like leaning into the computer, or like make my chin quiver a little bit, or like whatever I have a physical reaction to, I know that that's the photo that I'm going to keep.
Awesome. Thank you for that. That helps me as a parent too, when I'm going through the like, 50, just even from this weekend, you know, the like 50 pictures from the beach, and I don't want to have that many on my computer. And now I know I'm going to put some in a file to be printed out later. But I love that suggestion of what moves us, what gives a bit of a physical reaction. Those are the magic moments. Eh?
Exactly. And the other thing that helps a little bit for me to do that is to not do it immediately after.
Ah, okay.
Because immediately after, you're still like, remembering what just happened, whereas if you just give it a week or 2 weeks, for me, I don't look at anything for 2 weeks.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and then I open it up. Like people are often like, "Well, can I have a sneak peek?" I'm like, "No, actually, like for me to be able to like reconnect with a photo that I've taken, I need to not be having the current memory. So I want the memories that I've had of those moments to settle into my brain.
Yeah,
and then when I look at the photo, it reminds me of that moment. Because if you're in that space where we just did the thing and now I'm looking at a photo of the thing, I'm remembering the photo. I'm not remembering the moment.
Jen, it took us a long time to pick a name for the podcast. And we settled on Peach Pear Plum, a parenting podcast, which isn't an obvious choice for a parenting podcast. Let's talk for a minute about how do we come up with this title and what were some of the other favorites?
Yeah, so it was kind of hard to wind our way down to a title. Some of it came down to other podcasters poaching our exciting names. Like I had thought of Peas in a Pod, but wouldn't you know it, that's already a podcast.
Yeah.
And Cam had come up with some great names, like a Noodle Island, he had said. And
we toyed with the idea of Noodle. We both really loved that. Noodle in the basket. Noodle Basket and Noodle Island. Just as the image of the noodle was such a fun one for parenting, because it is a popular food choice.
All noodles all the time. But I think the peach, pear, plum won out for when we asked people and got their opinion. It seemed like it won out. I think it has a musical kind of sound to it. Or it's fun. It's fun to say.
It is fun to say.
I liked that it played off your radio program that you had. And I bet there'll be ways for people to listen to archived episodes of that. So I like that it had a continuity for your radio work. And of course, it references a classic children's book with a similar title.
Janet and Alan Alberg, Each Peach, Pear, Plum, which is a beautiful little book. And so it is inspired by that.
And then another piece that actually my kid brought up is how peach, pear, plum, three different fruits, they're all fruits of the same family, but everyone is different. So I kind of loved that idea too, that maybe we're all in this crazy fruit basket together, but everyone brings their own difference. Someone might be a little fuzzy, someone might be a little tart, someone might be kind of sweet. All together it makes a good salad. So I love that idea too, of all of our differences and yet inclusion at the same time.
And certainly they're all fruits that we see growing in this area. Even the peaches, although they aren't as sort of prevalent as but pears and plums, I mean, second only to apples, maybe.
So we're surrounded an explosion. By them right
now. I don't think that actually the pear is probably the number one. Do you not find? It's like the zucchini of the fruit, the Kootenai fruit tree.
Yeah. If you don't have anyone offering you zucchini or pears, then you might need to work on your like friend connections.
That's right. You're looking in the wrong gardens.
Yeah. I have a neighbor up the Wild Horse where I live who has a peach tree growing inside their entranceway. They have this glassed-in atrium. And in the summer months when I visit them and see these beautiful little pristine peaches growing, it's inspiring as a gardener. And I guess metaphorically, it makes me think that we can all kind of blossom if we're planted in the right place. You know, if as parents we support our kids in the ways that they naturally are, then we can help them to flourish. So that's a big stretch from talking about the name of our podcast, but I could kind of go on all day with ways in which it made me think about being a family or being a parent.
Yeah.
Or feeding a family, nourishing ourselves. So I'm pretty into our Peach Pear Plum parenting podcast. Quadruple five P's. That's a lot of P's.
It is. I think we also really looked at the idea, or for me, it was about filling a basket with all the things that we'll bring to this podcast and all the different tools that we want to share with each other and with families. So filling a basket full of the abundance of parenting world.
Beautiful. We've talked lots about the idea of tools, or filling our basket with things that can help us as parents. And that's the goal of this podcast, or why Kootenai Kids asked us to work on this fun endeavor, is to support parents so that we can all raise healthy, happy Kootenai Kids. So if we have more tools, if we have a basket full of things to help us do that, then maybe we'll all be happier, healthier parents.
Each peach, pear, plum.